On a muggy day in July, Ramey Youngkin, GM, head coach, and minority owner of the Bluegrass Revolution, watches his players practice in the rain and tries to sound optimistic.
You know, we knew going in that getting the word out and everything and asking people to pay to watch Ultimate might be a little bit prohibitive, but it's a great sport. People love it when they see it.
The Bluegrass Revolution is one of eight teams playing in the inaugural season of the American Ultimate Disc League. The AUDL is the first professional league for Ultimate, but given ongoing legal troubles and marketing issues, it may not be the last. The sport, often called Ultimate Frisbee, has been around since the late 60s and has risen to the level of cult favorite. Ultimate hasn't been given scholarship status by the NCAA, and it's not considered varsity at most high schools. But that doesn't mean that AUDL players can't be called professionals. They are, after all, paid by their teams a minimum of $50 per season, plus profit sharing, in a sport where there are little to no profits.
Going forward, we'll be able to do more of the per-game stipend and, you know, an actual salary. But when, you know, just like with the NFL way back when, they were paying players, you know, $30, $40 for an entire season.
No one at the Pro Football Hall of Fame could confirm those starting salaries. But researcher John Kendall did point out that in 1892, long before the NFL was founded, William Pudge Huffelfinger became the first athlete to be paid for playing football. He received $500 for a single game. But I digress. AUDL players wear professional-looking jerseys, and they travel on the team owner's dime. Teams have home stadiums, like this one, at Henry Clay High School in Lexington, Kentucky, and they have fans.
We have attendance somewhere around 250. Whenever we have a day like today with it raining, it'll wane. We'll do our best, and you know, even if we got one fan in the stands, we'll still play.
And now, your Bluegrass Revolution... Ryan Pate, Michael Fry Jensen.
On this day, attendance has waned far below 200 to somewhere around 20. At the opening poll, that's the first throw that starts a point, the skies have cleared and Roger Grace, father of Todd, a 37-year-old attorney moonlighting as a pro Ultimate player, describes the crowd.
Very slim.
Those who love this sport do so wholeheartedly, and they're accustomed to explaining it.
Once you catch the disc, you have to stop and throw it. You can't run with it like in football. You score by getting across the end zone, so it's fast-paced. The possessions go back and forth quickly, and the players go all out.
Rampage! Rampage! Rampage!
886 miles northeast of Lexington, the game at Pierce Stadium in East Providence, Rhode Island, has already started. The crowd is much bigger, maybe pushing 100 or 150, all huddled together in the shade of the broadcast booth.
This is very exciting. This is actually a little bit more exciting than what I thought it would be, to be completely honest with you.
Tall, broad, and African-American, Rhode Island Rampage owner Emerson Kilgore stands out in the crowd. It would be an understatement to say he came into professional Ultimate team ownership with modest expectations. Before learning that franchises were for sale, Kilgore had never heard of Ultimate.
Well, actually, I've been looking to reinvent myself a little bit. As you can probably tell by my size, I've played football a few years of my life, and this opportunity crossed my path, and I took full advantage of it.
25 seconds left in the first quarter. Let's hear it!
The day is warm and sunny, so the weather's not to blame for the sparse attendance. Tawna Babbitt, a fan from Easton, Massachusetts, offers another excuse. A major charity tournament is being contested in Boston this weekend, and maybe all the fans of the game are there.
If you have a chance to play, you might not come and watch.
Babbitt's been playing Ultimate with her husband and adult children for 4 years, but she never expected to watch a professional game.
I mean, there are other sports that are more mainstream that have trouble getting professional leagues going, so why would this one be able to do it?
And why is this one able to do it?
Well, we'll see how it goes.
So the league has owners who have never heard of the sport and fans who aren't convinced it can succeed. To make matters worse, Ultimate players say they'd rather win the club championship, contested in Florida every fall, than the AUDL championship held this weekend in Michigan.
Winning club nationals is it's the epitome. Maybe in a couple of years AUDL will be there, but right now club is as good as it gets.
Mike Miller is one of the assistant captains of the Rampage. He joined the team to get in shape for the club season. But there's one more obstacle to the AUDL's success. The league is currently suing two of its teams, the Connecticut Constitution and the Rhode Island Rampage. At issue are territory rights. The league says Connecticut and Rhode Island agreed to expansion teams in Boston and New York. Connecticut and Rhode Island say they were sold territories that included a 100-mile radius around their home counties, which includes Boston and New York. It's a point Josh Moore, founder and president of the AUDL, doesn't really refute.
Yeah, the agreement does say, you know, there's a 100-mile radius for teams coming in existence.
They keep telling us that that's really not what they meant.
Brian Ritchie owns the Connecticut Constitution, and he was pretty happy with the way the season was going until the legal troubles started. Ritchie is a CPA, and he sounds a little bit believable when he says professional ultimate can succeed.
And it's going to have a lot to do with how well whoever is the one that's running the best league is marketing the league. There may be other leagues that come out because of this. Why wouldn't there be another entry?
So what would that entry need to do differently to be successful?
We don't have enough time.
AUDL founder and president Josh Moore says he hopes the conflict with Connecticut and Rhode Island will be resolved in the next few weeks, and that the league is already addressing other problems that came up during the season.
We are hard at work, and we'll be working all offseason to improve, you know, as many things as we can.
But before the intrigue of next year, there's still one game left in this inaugural season. This weekend, the Philadelphia Spinners take on the Indianapolis Alley Cats at the 80,000-seat Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan. Moore promises whether the turnout is 100 or 10,000, it should be an enjoyable event for all. Only a Game is produced by Doug Tribou. Our technical director is John Perotti. Our intern is Philip Kisubika. We had help this week from Ann Marshall. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view our photo galleries, please visit onlyagame.org. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at onlyagameradio. Our final word comes from Rhode Island Rampage assistant captain Mike Miller, who fears job displacement in the world of ultimate disc.
Man, if Olympic caliber athletes ever start playing, I'm going to be out of a job.
Mike, newsflash, that may happen anyway. I'm Karen Given. Bill Littlefield returns next week. Thanks for listening.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. And the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org. This is NPR.